Our present reflection is a continuation on the virtues of a priest. And first of two virtues on which we shall reflect are Christ-like charm
not amplifying. I just want to check something. Excuse me, Father.
Can I now be heard?
Yeah, try it.
We are reflecting on the virtues of a priest. First of the two virtues which we shall meditate is Christ-like charm. Before we go on to looking at Christ-like charm, let us see a little more closely what Father Gerald says for the need for humility. In context, remember, he is saying, single most important practice of humility is to pray. When we pray, whether we realize it or not, in effect saying to God, Thou art and I am not. No deeper humility than to recognize our absolute, complete nothingness compared with God. As for Him, none of us would even begin to exist. Consequently, before we go on, we remind ourselves that humility is the foundation of the spiritual life. Foundation of that, your foundation, is a practice of constant prayer. Now we go on, look at Christ-like charm. Father John had already spoken of the need for charity in a priest. So Father Gerald, priest charity should affect his whole life. We should see in him something of the love that Christ had for others. Especially, all this needs to be underlined, ready for those who were, in Christ's case, and are the same in our case, humanly speaking, least deserving of love. Now we quote Father Gerald. To be the friend of Christ, or being a friend to those around us when that is inconvenient from an earthly view, from your point of view. Now to love our neighbor, Jesus loves us, must love him when our neighbor is unlovable. I never tire repeating one word that whenever we move from the human vocabulary is the word unlovable. A word that does not belong in Christianity. We are to love our neighbor as Jesus loves us. We love him or her when our neighbor is profoundly, deeply, I would even add, constantly unlovable. Was it not true that Christ had loved us and unlovableness and the wonderment of divine love. That is the first reason for apostates. Love those who have been unworthy of his love. Christ loved them. He loves us. This needs to be underlined. He loves us even when we are unlovable towards him. Believe me, Holy Father Gerald, if consecrated souls, even priests, can be terribly unlovable. Remember that our Lord very carefully pins down who are his true disciples. They are those who are set upon deliberately loving their neighbor as Christ has loved them. How has Christ been loving us? And loved us to the point of sacrifice. He has loved us to the point of giving his own life out of love for us. And we want to follow Christ's example, must love our neighbor to the point of laying down our lives for the one whom we claim to love. We must love God's priests. And when they are unlovable, that does not mean being weak with them. God has not been weak with us. At times in his love for us, he has dealt with us strong and firm hand. But always that strong hand was motivated not with impatience, because he wished us not to lose him for eternal life. God wanted and wants us to be with him for eternity. Therefore, he has sought us in our weakness. He sought us in our difficulties. Sacrificed himself even to die on the cross out of love for us. Now we go on. One of the greatest trials of the priesthood. Only a man like Father Gerald would know was loneliness. One of the main reasons for loneliness, Father Gerald was convinced, was the lack of selfless friendship among priests. And why he stressed so much the practice of kindness, forbearance, if need be, to heroism with men who are often victims of failure in Christian charity. You can always find good in human nature. Father Gerald insisted, cultivating, noticing the good, we encourage others to build up that good. Again, Father Gerald could only remember, could only ask ourselves, have I allowed myself to wound a fellow priest? Given his exposure to human weakness and his familiarity with human sin, the most essential virtues of a priest, essential for the fulfillment of his vocation, his capacity, strange language for silence. One stops to think about it. Become increasingly evident as to be like God. I see that reverently. Like God who knows all things. And yet, who is so slow to reveal the humiliations of the individual to his fellows. God does not reveal the weakness individuals have to other people. Recall what happened at the Last Supper. When Judas planned to betray the Savior, he was about to carry out his betrayal. What did Jesus do? He did not reveal the betrayer. Instead, he cryptically told the disciples one of them was a devil and asked, who was this? Jesus did not identify the betrayer. Finally, Gethsemane, the traitor betrayed himself. I'm quoting now Father Gerald. It was a dreadful, terrible possibility. It flows from that forbearance and silence of God. A priest can go to the altar for years. Jesus Christ will not betray him. He can go to the altar, mortal sin, and Christ will not betray him. John is speaking to his fellow priests. Dear fathers, he tells them, what a tremendous forbearance, what a tremendous self-control the Son of God is exercising. Not only 1900 years ago, the Last Supper, and the world today. And that is one reason why we need to have a deep faith. Do what we should do today, what Christ did almost 2,000 years ago. Today is Christ's Passion. We know today, somewhere in the world, Jesus' lips and our Lord, somewhere in the world, Lord whispered to a poor soul, both souls of laity and souls of priests, do you betray the Son of God with a kiss? And Jesus was silent. Today, practicing charity by keeping silence, especially necessary for us from the end of our vocation. We, like Peter and John, become aware of the sorrows of the Sacred Heart and the priesthood. We become aware of the humiliations, mediating failures and sins of priests. How careful we must be. I need to make some observations what Father Gerald has just told us. The world has always hated the priesthood. In today's world, I would say the world is being armed by the evil spirit, undermine the priesthood, tear down the reputation of priests. As we know, over the years, priests, the other human beings, have been faithless to God. But in today's world, I see this from deep knowledge. the media, I dare say this, are hell-bent undermine the priesthood by exposing not just their present sins, but as a bishop with the last month or so was forced to resign from his episcopate because he admitted committing sin through the papers 40 years ago. The world hates the priesthood. He's doing everything in his power, not what is in his worldly power, to undermine the priesthood. In one major city after another, priests are being arrested. Priests being put in prison. Some serving long terms for sins they've committed years and years ago. I assure you, no one else, know what I'm saying, no one else in the world, in more by the world than priests. Whatever in God's name we can do to safeguard and protect the reputation of priests, we should do so. We continue quoting Father Gerald. Maybe avoid speaking unnecessarily of the failures and sins of a priest. We are saving the Sacred Heart of Jesus from being reminded of something that has been humiliation, and by anticipation, something is already suffered for, something that brought the drops of blood in his body in Gethsemane. Not one of us, not heard sufficient confessions, understand why Jesus shed blood in the Garden of Olives. There's another reason, however, a priest should keep discreetly silent on what he knows about the sins of others, including and especially Christ's priests. This is the motive that Christ went out of his way to emphasize, namely, to obtain mercy for ourselves. The Beatitude. And read it. Tells us, blessed are the merciful. And we are only as merciful as we practice mercy, which means we do not unnecessarily reveal the failures, the faults, and the sins of others. I know I'm speaking to the handmaid of the precious blood. We said earlier in our seminars, we're calling it, handmaids are to obtain from God the grace the priests need to live up to their exalted position as priests. Among these virtues that priests desperately need is the virtue of mercy. We seldom reflect on this, but we should. We practice mercy when we keep silent about the known and obvious failings of other people. How silent God is. Now revealing the failures of others, we should follow God's example. So far, the practice of the virtue of Christ-like charm. We have one more for this meditation. Father Joe calls it generosity of spirit. The practice of charity is already a high virtue. His presence in a priest, one of the marks of his closeness to God. Whoever, it's Father Gerald, generosity of spirit, if possible, goes beyond charity. Or rather, generosity is a perfection of the virtue of charity. And also, generosity not only looks for the good in others to praise them. Generosity seeks to meet the needs of others. And this is crucially important for the practice of charity. Measure of our greatness. Father Gerald, determine our generosity. If you want a practical measure of your spiritual stature, you'll find it in terms of your generosity. Father Gerald asks, how generous are you? Remember to us, the Lord has said, generously you have received. Who has received more generously from God than the priest whom Christ has ordained? Me, however, we speak of generosity. We must carefully distinguish two types of souls. Even generous souls. And this classification is not arbitrary. Or to the generosity of a soul, whether priest, religious, or layman, there are, says Gerald, first of all, good souls. But the good souls, whose goodness is very well concerned with their own immediate peace of happiness. Good souls, surely trying to serve God, do His will. Fine. Then Father Gerald asks, are these souls trying to serve God faithfully? Do they abide in God? They do. But good souls who do not sacrifice much to God, they are pleasing to God. They are acceptable to Him. But they are not self-sacrificing. In other words, if I'm to be truly generous in spirit, I must ask myself, what does a person need? That means every person who enters my life. One thing that every human being needs is to be paid attention to. Every human being wants to be recognized. Every human being wants to be appreciated. I see this in Father Joel as a background. How we need to ask ourselves, how generous am I in sharing my spirit with everyone who enters my life? What a difference being kind to people, not doing any injustice to them, and being kind to a person, generous to that person, give that person my time. What does that mean? Listen to that person when that person speaks. Speak to that person when that person wants me to talk to him. For God, we are the most valuable instruments, the most important channels of grace to others. If only as generous to others, we sincerely try to give everything we have to those who God puts into our lives. I've said more than once, the most precious treasure we have is time. After God's grace, nothing more important on earth than time. How much time do I give other people? When a person talks, what a difference between hearing that person and listening to that person? Someone passes us in the corridor. What a difference between seeing a person and looking at that person. I've said more than once, when we look at someone, we want to see him. When we listen to a person, we want to hear him. And this, I can tell you, living community, now, I hardly believe it, over 60 years. The most important thing we should do for others is give them the time that God has given to us. And then, Father Gerald pleads with priests. He prays, Lord Jesus, how fortunate we are. Then there's a plea for priestly generosity. The heart of St. John, he be our heart because we are thy priests, whom Christ expects more than of others. The heart of Mary Magdalene belongs to us because we too offended thee grievously, though we belong to the penitent. Penitent heart is ours, and to give much to others because so much has been mercifully given to us. We spontaneously think of others, and without a second thought, we think of their limitations and failures. We talk about generosity, not your generosity in words, generosity of the time we give, generosity of spirit. Deep down in our hearts, we are to love those who God put into our lives by loving them with deep interior affection. It belongs to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, or to the heart of a priest, and the heart of a penitent, heart of the Mother of God belongs. Mary knows how to inspire her son's priest, give half the example of her son who died on the cross, expiating our sins. If a person, especially a priest, is generous, or to be zealous, Father Gerald could not be more clear. For him, the great example of generosity which is zealous was St. Paul. Father Gerald never tired presenting to a priest as a model of their for their imitation, St. Paul. As we review the story of the apostle, we are struck by the logic of God's providence. First of all, the man himself, Saul. On ordinary nature, the Lord decided to build his edifice of grace. Paul Joel asks, what is characteristic of Paul? What means today to stem the terrible tide of wordiness sweeping in on the church is this enormous energetic approach. St. Paul was a man of energy, not big physically, very big, and sense of the flaming intensity of his soul. Whatever he would do, he would do intensely. So when he started to persecute the church, remember what happened. Do so intensely. When he started pursuing the people of God, doing so intensely, he started only to carry things through, following through, finished cleaning up the Christians in Jerusalem, what Paul did, going to Damascus to bring back, as he called them, those astray from Israel. He made a crusading, Father Joel says, a crusading district attorney. So much for Paul's nature. Then God interfered. The Master stopped him in his tracks. The way to Damascus. And not forget, after Christ himself, there has not been more momentous moment for the church than the moment when Jesus stopped a fiery little man and about persecuting the church. Saul, remember, from his horse, was asking him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Only God knows how desperately we need, St. Paul's today. I mean, Paul's masculine gender and Paul's feminine gender. The letter of St. Paul, as I've said more than once, it lists numerous women cooperating with St. Paul and the other disciples in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. How we need fiery apostles like St. Paul today. I've said more than once, the church in its present century is the most serious crisis of our 2,000 years of history. Widespread persecution. Let's be honest. Persecution not only in Africa or Asia, persecution in the United States. What the church needs, and never tire repeating, is Christians who are living martyrs, so deeply in love with Jesus Christ, want to spend themselves, exhaust themselves, if possible, die out of love for Christ. All this is part of the church history. When I read Three of the Missionaries of Charity, we were killed in Africa a month ago. I'm going to congratulate the Missionaries of Charity and the Mother General. Thank God you finally have martyrs. This generosity of spirit that we're talking about, generosity of martyrs, and let's be honest, the first persons with whom we are to practice the generosity of martyrs, hear it, our own fellow religious. I mean that literally. Our fellow religious will be only as holy, I mean this, as we are. There is no one, one under God, toward whom we have a greater responsibility to practice Christ-like generosity than to our own fellow religious. And I don't have to ask you, no human nature, of all your fellow religious, always kind towards you. Are they always selfless? Are they always Christ-like in their generosity? Our fellow religious, sometimes selfish. What a rhetorical question. I want to emphasize the importance of practicing generosity now in the religious community in which we live. And God makes sure fellow religious will fail their charity towards us. We need, I mean what I'm saying, we need to be treated at least sometimes unkindly. You know, meet with selfishness. We need to meet with ingratitude. I want to be very clear. A part of generosity as religious, yourselves not priests, in the practice in religious community. I think I've said this before. My superior write my autobiography. I prayed and I doubt that I'll publish it. Only God knows, only He knows how much over the years fellow Jesuits have caused me pain. This is our faith, yours and mine. A lack of appreciation, lack of gratitude, lack of kindness. All things, humanly speaking, we expect and would like to receive our fellow villagers. Now do I say, don't always expect it. Expect the opposite. And when I'm saying, thank God, well, the unkindness, you meet with fellow religious, thank the Lord for the lack of generosity, lack of patience while those with whom we live. If you are going to win the grace of a priest, vocation calls you to do, you must experience, I mean this literally, you must experience something of the suffering of those who are living a martyr's life. Lord Jesus, we know you are our God. You became man. Teach us how we are to live. You suffered most intensely from those most deeply loved. Teach us, dear Lord, what it means to live a martyr's life. The expression is not a rhetorical term, is real. Help us, dear Lord, to live lives of deep, Christ-like patience, lives of deep generosity towards those with whom we live, according to the measure of our own Christ-like charity for those with whom we live. We, that's you, will obtain the grace that priests need, among which none is more important than Christ-like generosity. Lord Jesus, how we need to learn from you what it means to endure pain out of love for you. We love you only in the measure willing, ready, and happy, dear Jesus, happy to suffer with you, for you, like you, even from you. Dear Savior, given us, handmaids of the precious blood, the privilege of living lives of selfless generosity for your priests. Jesus, we beg you to see how we are to live these selfless lives in the community. Never, dear Jesus, never complain in the depths of our hearts how we are treated, because, dear Lord, we believe, given us the privilege of being having the precious blood to shed our blood in spirit, in the lives of selfless generosity, our love for you, and especially our love for your priests. This we ask through your blessed mother, mother of priests, who suffered on the cross. Her son died on the cross. You, dear mother, suffer with him. We are handmaids, suffering like you, your divine son. May we, as ready priests, the back to the heart of your divine son, or keep them faithful to Jesus, who died on the cross, especially out of love for priests. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mm-hmm.